Environmental Man.
Bidding a final farewell to his unenlightened ways, our hero gets off to a good start on the Earth-friendly trek. Soon he is struggling against overwhelming odds as he plunges into savage urban America. Will he survive?
The answer to living an environmentally friendly life is often, let's replace bad technology with good technology. Well, maybe. Deciding what is good and what is bad technology can be pretty tough. One thing's for sure, we've got to come up with something better than plastic to-go containers for hamburgers. Yes? Environmental Man looks to technology to win the day and save the Earth. He faces the future with confidence that there are solid answers just waiting on the horizon to be implemented. After all, it wasn't too many years ago that careless industries were spewing all sorts of suspended particulate into the air, as well as a host of other evils. Now, putting high-tech filters on the smokestacks cleaned up the air all right, but it still came out hot, and that contributes to global warming. Perhaps if we can come up with cheaper air conditioning, we can cool the smokestacks down. But cheaper always translates as more polluting, and the chemicals used destroy the ozone layer. And Mother Earth's temperature is rising. What can you do for a planet when she has a fever? Well, we can chuck modern technology altogether and go back to a mule and a hoe. You know, basic sustainable agriculture, lots of fresh air, and sweat. But have you noticed that people already living at the bottom of the technological ladder are trying to knock down our doors to escape such a life? Very few people seriously envision a world of small farms run by hard-working, enlightened people who are content with just keeping terra firma tidy. There just aren't that many dedicated souls who are ready to chuck the comfortable life they now live and take such an extreme step. You're probably not one of them either. But perhaps you have taken steps to remove yourself from the self-destructing rat race of a greedy, polluting consumer society. Steps like getting rid of your car and bicycling to work. This is a significant step, surely, since the automobile is the symbol of everything Environmental Man loathes. After all, it does more to make Mother Earth sick than any other one factor. Driving that infernal machine poisons her lungs, gives her a fever, and just the manufacturing of the automobile creates toxins without number, shutting down her liver. Only someone pretending to be Environmental Man would ever be found owning one. So, you bite the bullet and buy a bike. Pedaling to work, you risk your fool neck in insane traffic as those despised automobiles, full of environment-hating rednecks, whiz by you without a care. Breathing deeply, you ponder the wisdom of your choice as you suppress coughing from the stinky hydrocarbons pouring out of the tailpipe of that last car. What good will it do, Mother Earth, if you wind up squashed like a bug on the asphalt? Who will take care of her then? Slightly dizzy from the last diesel blast of a city bus, Environmental Man looks down to evaluate his contribution to saving the Earth. His bicycle. After all, a truly efficient bicycle is quite a marvel. Of high technology, that is. Do you have any idea what it takes to manufacture a graphite composite frame, or even a metal alloy one? Well, what about the plastic coating on your brake cable housings? Or more basic, just your tires. One guess. And it's called electricity. And lots of it. And most of the world's electricity is generated by coal. Or worse, a good deal of it by nuclear power. Now, how are you going to generate enough electricity through solar panels and windmills to make bicycles for 6 billion people? And who knows how to manufacture solar panels and windmill generators without pollution or without electricity? But still, you gotta survive. No matter how noble his thinking or how much he considers such lofty matters, environmental man must eat. Fortunately for him, he lives in the richest nation in the world, brought to him in part by immensely profitable and immensely polluting industries. But never one to dwell on the negative, full of determination, he makes the decision to grit his environmental teeth and walk to work. The next morning, environmental man laces up his sneakers, having decided to jog to work. It's better for him, he figures, and besides, it's a lot quicker, giving him more time in the afternoon for racquetball. It used to be hacky sack. As he laces the last eyelet of his new sneakers, the dreaded thought comes.
I wonder how they make these things. Slipping into reality, his mind becomes entranced with accurate visions of some dingy factory in a third world country. Right at the change of shifts, as shabbily dressed men and women file into the gaping doors of this brick monster, their heads hung low from the hardship of a futureless life. Out the other doors come the weary victims of night shift, having produced another Blue Million high-tech sneakers with some famous basketball player's name emblazoned on the side in fluorescent letters. Above all of their heads, the smokestacks chug out choking black fumes, like a harlot blowing cigarette smoke in the face, mocking their hopes for a better life.
Snapping back from reality, environmental man realizes he'll be late for work if he doesn't leave right away. His mind weighed down with the immense task of living environmentally friendly, he considers a possibility. Maybe, just maybe, he could import organic cotton hand-knitted shoelaces from Guatemala for people like himself. That might help. Of course, it would have a better chance of catching on if some famous basketball star endorsed it, too. He flings on his cape, opens the apartment door, and pauses, troubled by his recent vision. Making a few minor adjustments, environmental man hurls himself out the door! Barefoot. After 3 days of walking to work, starting at 4 a.m., environmental man hobbled back one gloomy evening. A cloud as thick as bus smoke hung over his head. All the stress of being environmentally devout was getting to him. He'd snapped at his friends all day at work, and on his way home, he'd cut his foot on a piece of broken beer bottle. He was perplexed as to what to do next. Adam may have left the Garden of Eden barefoot, but environmental man had his doubts that he could get back in the same way. The more he tried to live with a good conscience, the less joy he had in life. It seemed like loneliness was the only one who understood him. All his environmental ideals were leaking out, making him feel as flat as the tire on his bike he had just surrendered to the recycling plant. How? Oh, how can environmental man get out of this genetically modified pickle? Will he still be able to save his mother?
Yes, things look grim, but all is not yet lost for our intrepid hero. Tune in next week, month, year, decade, or century for the continuing saga of
The Perils of Environmental